はい、じゃあ今日は続けてヨハネ13章の後半を読みます。ヨハネ13章の後半、前はヨハネ13章の前半やりました。ユダ・イスカリオってユダの話で、今は新しい命令というところを読みますので、The New Commandment。 そして最初はヨハネ13章の26節から38節を読みます。 So from John 13, 26 to 38. Okay. じゃあ、イエスは答えられた。それは私がパン切れを蓋して与えるものです。それからイエスはパン切れを浸し取ってイスカリオテシモンの子ユダにお与えになった。彼がパン切れを受けると、その時サタンが彼に入った。そこでイエスは彼に言われた。あなたがしようとしていることを今すぐにしなさい。席についているものでイエスが何のためにユダにそう言われたのかを知っている者は誰もいなかった。ユダが金入れを持っていたので、イエスが彼に祭りのために入り用のものを買えと言われたのだとか、または人々に何か貧しい人々に何かを施しをするように言われたのだと思ったものの中にもいた。ユダはパン切れを受けるとすぐ、外に出ていた。すでに夜であった。ユダが出ていく時、イエスは言われた。今こそ人の子は栄光を受けました。また神は人の子によって栄光をお受けになりました。神が人の子によって栄光をお受けになったのであれば、神もご自身によって人の子に栄光をお与えになります。しかも直ちにお与えになります。子供たちよ、私は今しばらくの間あなた方と一緒にいます。あなた方は私を探すでしょう。そして私が行くところへはあなた方は来ることができないと私はユダヤ人たちに言ったように、今はあなた方にも言うのです。あなた方に新しい戒めを与えましょう。あなた方は互いに愛し合いなさい。私があなた方を愛したように、そのようにあなた方も互いに愛し合いなさい。もしあなた方が互いの間に愛があるなら、それによってあなた方が私の弟子であることをすべての人が認めるのです。シモン・ペトロがイエスに言った。主よ、どこにおいでになるのですか？イエスは答えられた。私が行くところにあなたは今はついてくることができません。しかし後にはついてきます。ペテロはイエスに言った。主よ、なぜ今はあなたについていくことができないのですか？あなたのためには命を捨てます。イエスは答えられた。私のためには命を捨てるというのですか？まことにまことにあなたに告げます。鶏が鳴くまでに あなたはサンド私を知らないと言います。はい、ごめんなさい、その縦の古い聖書は難しい僕は横がいい。じゃあそしてまあ、前はユダ・イスカリオトの話をしましたけど、今はユダが出ていった。そしてもう本当にこのところから全てが変わります。これから13章から17章までは、まあ、時の本と言われています。時の本はまあ、ヨハネの第二の、本3つぐらいに分けています。最初は印の本、イエス様は7つの印をして、7つの長い話をして、でまあ、いろいろなことを示しました。で、今回13から17は逮捕される前のところです。それは、まあ、時の本、本当に短い間にヨハネの半分ぐらいが成り立てている。で、このところにいろんな場面が、いろんなテーマが出てきますけど、主に出てくることは、まあ、愛と聖霊、真実、喜びと祈りが答えられること、そういうテーマが出てきますけど、でも一番最初にエスカレーテユダが出てた途端、イエス様は新しい戒めを与えました。で、その新しい戒めは、互いに愛します。まあ、それもちょっとパターンがあります。まあ、よく比べてみたら、この中にパターンがある。まあ、互いに今聖霊、御子がその父にが栄光を与えます。ちょうど今それがなります。で、どうやってすると、愛によって、そして全ての人がその私たちの互いの愛 のゆえに、まあ、私のイエス様の弟子ということを認めるということです。だから、まあ、まずは今日はこの愛のこと、私たちはイエス様の弟子という印は何でしょうそれは愛、互いに愛があるからということ、まあ、ほぼ今日はそれだけを話したいと思います。まずね、ちょっと背景を考えてみましょう。その時に非常に政治的にひどい時代だった。ローマ帝国の時だから、ユダヤ人は、ローマの足の下にいました。自由はなかった。そしてローマの兵士はいつでも荷物をユダヤ人に与えて、ほら来い、それを1マイルまで運べと言う権利があった。そしてユダヤ人は何もできなかった。断るともう殺された。そしてでも制限がありました。1マイルだけ頼まれることが可能だった。しかしユダヤ人は非常に怒っていた。そしてイスラエルの中でもいろいろな分裂がありました。そしてどういう人たちが行ったかというと、まあ、大体このような5つのグループがありました。最初は、まあ、外国人とか以外に、最初はエッセンズという人たちです。彼らは視界の周りのドア穴とかに住んでいて、完全に彼らは、まあ、仏教みたいに純粋に暮らそうとしていた。彼らはもう普通の社会は汚れていると思って、そしてそのドアナで交わりをしました。彼らは一般の人と交わらなかった。まあ、彼ら の, 文章が残っていますので、その人たちから今のたくさんの写本を、まあ、継いでいることがありますけど、しかしまあ、現代というとそういう、まあ、クリスチャンもいるでしょう。そういうクリスチャンはやっぱりみんなと違うところに行って暮らそうとしている人たち。まあ、イエス様は全くその人たちに関して何も言ってない。そしてまあ、はっきりということは あの新約聖書全体に何も言われてない。非常にあの、まあ、大きな、非常に大きいかというか、あのはっきりしたグループですけど、でも聖書は、まあ、無視しているということ。多分彼らは、まあ、ちょっとカルト的なあの存在をしていたと思います。ある人たちはあのヘブル書の手紙は彼らにあの対して書かれている人もいますけど、でもまあそれは読んだことありますけど、それ以外は何の参考もない。じゃあ次はパリサイ人たち。パリサイ人はどういうものか、まあ、エッセンは完全に離れているというあのことで知られているなら、あのパリサイ人たちはもう罪を嫌ったり、自分の神学的な立場をあの強く、熱心に求めていた。そしてあの自分たちと違うことがあのを思っている人たちはあの見下している。それはあの、まあ、プライドの高いパリサイ人たちです。でもあの今はやっぱり多くのクリスチャンはそういう態度があります。あの本当に神学的にちょっと違うことを信じる人がいればあのバカにしたり、あのそういう傾向があります。そういう人たちもいます。あの今パリサイ人のようなクリスチャンがあのたくさんいます。あの、まあ、他の、宗派の人たちと交わらないとか、そういうプライドももちろんあります。サドカイ人は、まあ、政治的な波に乗ったり、あの自分の都合を求めていた。彼らは、まあ、イスラエルのためと言いながら、でも実はイスラエルのためよりも自分のため、自分の立場を守ろうとしていたから、彼らは、まあ、ローマとよく交渉しながらしました。今でもクリスチャンの中でそういう傾向もあります。特に今はあの、まあ、特に政治的な左と右のあのまあ、立ち上に立って、そしてもう半分クリスチャンのために、半分国のために、半分自分のために、あの、自分の社会、自分の文化、自分の、まあ、あの社会のためにあの、まあ、行動している。そういう人たちもかなりプライドが高くて、他のあの、賛成している人とバカにしたりあのしています。特に、まあ、今西洋にはそういうクリスチャンが、まあ、たくさんいます。あとあの、まあ、熱心党は本当にひどかった。彼らはもうユダヤ人でもローマ人でも誰でも自分と一緒に戦わなければ敵だと思っていたから、自分たちはあの自分たちだけが本当に神様のために立ち上がっている。そしてあの他のユダヤ人はみんな妥協していると、とかそういう考えをしていました。その熱心党はとにかくローマを嫌っていて、その暗闇に住んでいた。まあ今あの残念ながらあの多分あの私たちが出てきたその識別のあのディサーンメントミニストリーは、まあ、熱心党と当てはまると思います。あの極めてのあの、あのまあいたあなんというまあ人を嫌ったり、人をあの誰でも敵とすぐに思っている、あのすぐに裏切っている、そういう傾向がどんどんあの出てきていますので、まあそういう人たちもあのいるでしょう。 あと第4あ5のあグループ、その時代はクリスチャンです。でそれはもちろんイエス様の後でにあの教会があの出てきて、イエス様がそういう最初 あのグループを作りましたけど、ここでイエス様はじゃあこの第5のグループはどのように知られる、それは離れているからじゃなくて、あの熱心に神学的な立場を立っていることではなくて、政治的に戦っていることではなくて、あの熱心に敵をやっつけることではなくて、互いに愛するということです。あのだから私たちクリスチャンはどのように知られるべきかというと、 まずは、まあ、政治的なこととか罪と関わらないこととか、それは重要。そして神学的なことももちろん重要ですけど、でもやっぱり知られていることは互いに愛するということ、それによって私たちは知られるべきです。もし私たちは他のことで知られているなら、じゃあ私たちはある程度失敗しているわけです。はい、のでまずはイエス様がここでこれからの、教会、これからのイスラエルの民をの特徴を定義しているわけです。私たちはこの民は愛によって知られる、イエス様の弟子、愛しているからイエス様の弟子として知られるべきです。残念ながら今インターネットを見るとそういうことはあんまり見られない。何がはっきり出ていることはやっぱり神学的な立場、ためには政治的な立場、たまにはもう自分と合わない人を攻撃することでも本当に愛し愛することは知られているでしょうか。うん、お金を求めているとか自己中心とか、それがいっぱいありますけど、本当にめちゃくちゃ愛している、互いに彼らは愛しているなと思われていることは残念ながら少ないので、私たちは絶対にこのことを対処しなければならない。これは何よりも重要。 OK、We have a joiningparty, so let's do into English and we'll do the first part. Okay, so I'll just do this quickly in English just to start with. I'm going to read, we're continuing today with John chapter 13. Last time we did the first part of the chapter, actually we did it twice. The first time we compared Simon Peter and Simon's son Judas Iscariot. In the last one we compared Jesus and Judas. And today, just at the very end of John 13, I'd like to pick up from verse 26, and we'll read through until verse 38. Okay, so let's begin. John 13, 26 to 38. Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I've dipped it." And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now, after the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Then Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." But no one at the table knew for what reason he had said this to him. For some thought, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus had said to him, "Buy those things we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. So, when he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately." There seems to be a bit of chirality there if you look at it. It begins with, "Now the Son of God is glorified," and it ends with, "immediately." And so God is glorified in him would be the central part. Verse 33, "Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus answered, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Peter said to him, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." Jesus answered him, "Will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." Okay, so again, look, John 13 is the turning point, and they call John 13 to 17, which is kind of the second division in the book of John, it's called the book of the hour, because basically this was the very last hours before Jesus was arrested. Up until now, they call it the book of the signs because of the various signs that Jesus did and the long discussions that he had. But from this point, Judas is gone. Now that Judas is gone and Jesus is talking to those who are truly his disciples, he begins to describe what Israel is to become. The old Israel has not decided to follow God. They haven't accepted the Messiah. Later some will, but now he's recreating Israel in a sense. He's redefining Israel. What was the old Israel defined by? Let's look at the kinds of ways that Israel was defined at that time. There were basically, five different groups of people. The Essenes. If you say, what were the Essenes? Well, we say they were the people who... What sort of people were they? They were the people who lived in the Dead Sea caves. They were the people who were separate from society. They were the people who didn't want to mix. They understood that society was sinful, the religion of the state was corrupt, and they wanted to separate themselves and try to be pure. I guess they were Puritans. That's how we know the Essenes, because they were separate from everybody. The trouble is with the Essenes, though, outside of the possibility, I've read once that some people think that the book of Hebrews might have been written to them. Outside of that, and that's only a possibility, I don't think there's any mention of them made at all. The Bible talks about the other groups, but it doesn't even mention them. So it's kind of as if God is ignoring them. Today, there are, I guess, certain Christian groups who are like that, who want to be separate from everyone else and who basically go off into some mountain or something and they live by themselves. If they're not in society, then we don't really know much about them. But anyway, that was one kind of group in the day. We can certainly know them, though, by the fact that they were separated. The Pharisees, although they were supposed to be separated, in fact, they're known for their pride. They're known for looking down and despising other people. They were known for the way that they considered themselves to be zealous for the law and everyone else to be compromisers. How do we know the Pharisees? They were very zealous, but not with the knowledge of God. They were zealous for their traditions. Today, I think there are people like that. I guess many in the Protestant world are like that. And those who zealously defend their particular theology. For example, whether it's Arminianism or Calvinism. And not all people who are Calvinist or Arminian are Pharisaic, of course, but the ones who, you know, they're zealous about it and that's all they can talk about and they want to argue with other people. Those who hold their church's traditions as so important and others not. Just yesterday I was talking, or a couple of days ago, I was talking to a guy, one of my friends, and he was serving in a church. And he was actually teaching the Sunday school in a church. And then the communion come around and they wouldn't let him take communion. It's like, what? He'd been in the church serving there for months and months, and they'd even put him in charge of teaching the Sunday school, but they actually wouldn't let him take the communion. And so there's a definite Pharisaical streak there. Well, they were known by being, I guess you would say, fussy. The next one was the Sadducees. The Sadducees were riding the political waves. They were... they said they were out for the national interest. In reality, they were out for their own interest. But they were dealing with the Romans. They were basically using the power plays of the day to get what they want. And they weren't interested in righteousness because they made a decision. Caiaphas said, it's better for this guy to die and that the whole nation be saved. And so... they considered that righteousness was not important as pragmatically what was good for the whole nation. So I guess today the way that we see Christians becoming political now, and you know, there's so much political speech now among Christians, I guess that in a sense is very Sadduceic. You know, people are more concerned about which camp they're in, rather than the more important things of the Christian life. And as soon as I was talking to another friend about someone that I know, and he when he got married, he had to live for a time with his wife's family, and it became clear that he himself and his wife's parents, although they were Christians, they were of different political persuasion, let's say it like that. And I heard it was very difficult for them, because even though they were all Christians, even though they may have all loved God, and yet the difference in political opinion was such a big issue to them that it made the relationship very difficult. That's sad to say. Okay, the next one, zealots. They were probably the worst of all. They were violent, and they just attacked anybody who wouldn't go with them. They considered themselves to be really the only ones who were out for the national interest. They weren't righteous at all, and in fact, they were just as quick to turn on Jews as well, because if the Jews didn't fight with them, they considered them traitors and useless. Unfortunately, I think, and especially in the last week, after unfortunately going on the internet, I can see there's the zealot side very strongly in the church today, where, you know, anyone who fights with you suddenly becomes an enemy, and we just attack other people so quickly. I think the zealot spirit is still there, especially now in the discernment ministry. Anyway, we can see with these groups, the Essenes were defined by their separation, the Pharisees were defined by their zeal for the law and tradition, the Sadducees were defined by their political camps, the Zealots were defined by their hatred, and now we come to the last one, that is the Christians. Jesus defined what the church was supposed to be, and it is defined by love. As you have love for one another. So let's just look at it one more time. He says, after he talks about I'm going away, and now I'm leaving you with this commandment. This is the commandment in which you are to be to live, and by which you are to be defined by. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this we'll all know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. That is the very thing which ought to define what the church is. That is the thing that we should be known for. Now, if you go onto the internet and look up church and Christians and whatever now, you find all the other things. You'll find Pharisaic people defending their denominations. You'll find Sadduceic people mixing Christianity with their religion. You'll find zealots fighting each other. How much do you find actual, true, real love? This is the thing that is central to what defines us as a people. And this is the thing that we need to study, we need to pray about, we need to continue for all of our lives seek. I remember once, actually more than once, hearing someone, a pastor, say there's no need to preach about love, because love is a very simple thing. Everybody knows what it is, they just have to do it. And so it's not something that ought to be preached about much. It's something that ought to be done. The problem with that is the thing we needed to be reminded and stirred up and encouraged about is the very thing which Jesus told us is the most important. We do need to preach about love. We do need to be inspired to love. We do need to be stirred up to love. Love is the essence of who we are, and it's something that we need to emphasize. It's something we need to practice. You don't become good at it quickly. Matthew and Mark, if you look at the very end of their books, Jesus gives the Great Commission. Go out into all the world, make disciples. Luke, at the end of the book, it seems to emphasize the Great Commission, but with the added thing of power. You'll be endowed with power from on high as the Holy Spirit comes. So wait in Jerusalem until you get that power. John, on the other hand, he's total focus, not only in John, but also in the books of John, the epistles, it is in love. John was written last. So in the beginning, it's the work of the church. But what I guess what was lacking in the time later on when John actually wrote the book of John was love. And that's probably one reason why it's emphasized so much. The works have been done. The gospel is going out. It's gone to Greece. It's gone to Rome. Disciples are being made. But where is the love? And so this is the issue. And we can say the same thing. Churches have been planted. Denominations have been formed. Missions have been sent. But do we have this issue? Do we have love? Okay. All right. So going on to the next section. はい、次。この愛の話は私たちの中心、私たちの絶対必要不可欠、絶対にもうないがしろにしてはならないことです。マタイ、マルコ、ルカの福音書の終わりの方に、まあ、大、なんていう宣言、宣教の宣言があります。世界に出ていて、すべての国々に福音を伝えて弟子を作りなさい、私があなた方に命じたすべてのことを教えなさい、そういうこと。そしてルカの方はもうちょっと聖霊の力を表しています。力が上から来るまでエルサレムに待ちなさい。ですけどヨハネは後で書かれました。そして宣教師が出ていた、教会は建てられていた、開拓伝道はあらゆる地方で進んでいたけど、でも愛はどうでしょう。愛は本当に根がついているでしょうか。ヨハネはほとんどそういうことを言っています。ここでその愛について考えたいと思います。愛は学ばなければならない、愛は常に考えなければならない、祈らなければならない、練習しなければならないことです。本当に愛はないがしろにしてはならない。他の政治まあいろいろな話がありますけど、愛を忘れてしまうと全てを失ってしまったので、今日は愛について考えましょう。最初はイスカリオテユダはイエス様を裏切りました。そしてペテロはイエス様を否定しました。26から30はユダがイエス様を裏切ること、36から38はシモン・ペトロはイエス様を断ること、その間に挟まれているはこの新しい命令、新しい愛する命令です。のでそれは興味深い。イエス様は愛をどのように教えたでしょう。彼はその愛を表しました。自分で示しました。どこで示しました。ちょうど裏切る人と自分を断る人の間で愛を示しました。ので私たちはどういうふうに愛を示すべきでしょうか。同じように私たちを裏切ったり嫌ったり、そして断ったり捨てたり、そういう人たちの間で愛を示す、そしてはっきり示すことができます。周りに全ての友達の間で愛を示すことは難しい。自分を嫌っている人たちの間で愛を示すことは簡単にできる。そしてその証はなんと強いでしょう。そういうふうに私たちは召されている。はい。そしてそれについて考えてみると、愛は互いの愛ということは必要ではない。まあ一番強い愛の証はそうじゃない場合です。ユダはイエス様を嫌っていた。ユダはずいぶん前からイエス様をイライラしていて、そしてもう結局裏切るように計画していた。そういう人たちを愛すると 私たちは本当に神様の愛を示すことができる、練習することができる、そして実行することができます。そういうふうに私たちは召されています。それは私たち のアイデンティティです。次にペトロというものは完全に理解できなかった。彼はイエス様の奉仕をあんまり理解できなかった。自分が何考えているかわからない人たちとか、自分を理解して知ってくれない人たちを愛することは、またはっきり神様の愛を示す機会です。二人とも忠実ではなかった。そして自分が言ったのに愛する愛すると言ったのに、その愛を実行しなかった。イエス様は彼らの愛を求めたということよりも期待しなかった。もう愛してくださること、愛してくれるだろうなと思わなかった。イエス様はもう、あなたは私を断るでしょう、あなたは私を殺すでしょう、裏切るでしょう。そういうふうに私たちは本当に愛を示すときに、相手から愛を受けると思わないでください。思わないようにしましょう。それこそ本当の愛。だからそういう状態が出てくると、それは神様は、はい、今こそ主の愛を示す機会です。私たちはそういう時に立ち上がらなければならない。今こそ信仰の時だ。軍隊の、いる人はいつ戦争が起こるか分からないけど、いつも準備ができてないとダメです。同じように私たちはいつ裏切られる、いつ悪いことをされる時に分からないので、すでに常に心の準備をしなければなりません。イエス様は、自分の霊に模範で愛を教えた。私たちもそういうふうに家族に、周りの人たちに、未信者に、もうすべての人にイエス様の愛を教えなければならない。はい。だからイエス様が私たちを愛したように、私たちは人々を愛しなければならない。はい。そしてどういうふうに私たちは人たちを愛できるでしょうか。イエス様はその先に足を洗うことによってそれを示しました。ユダもシモン・ペトロもイエス様に現れました。だから私たちはそういう人たちも足を洗うこと、愛すること、体を本当に助けようとする心を持たなければなりません。例えば教会に来るときに、本当に互い、その時に出る人たちを、じゃあ今日はどういうふうに励ますことができるかを考えているでしょうか、祈っているでしょうか、準備をしているでしょうか。そうじゃないと愛するように計画してないわけです。私たちは本当にみんなにどういうふうに今日は助けることができるか、許すことができるか、この世の悪い影響から清めることができるか、本当にそれはチャンスです。ですけどそれだけではなくて、もう毎日毎日人々の罪を隠すこと、人々の欠けていることを満たすことです。誰かがちゃんとしなかったら、じゃあ自分が満たしてできるでしょう。他の人はなんか忘れたら、じゃあ自分も密かにできるでしょう。それこそ愛。神様はそれを見て栄光を受けている。そしてそういう目的です。だから私たちは結局そういうふうに召されている。確かに世界中に行って、確かに弟子を作る、確かに福音を述べ伝えるけど、でも中心的に何よりもまず愛する。愛ができなかったら他には何もできません。 OK, so second part. When we read that scripture before, about the new commandment, did you notice that Jesus gave the new commandment right exactly sandwiched between Judas's betrayal and Simon Peter's denial. That was very interesting. In 30, it says, John 13:30, having received the piece of bread, he, that's Judas, went out immediately, and it was night. So, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer, and you will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I'm going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, and he goes on to give the new commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this will all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And then from 36, Simon Peter said to him, and 38, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster will not crow till you have denied me three times. Between Judas and Simon, that was the context in which Jesus gave the new commandment defining the love of the church. Love one another as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? In between someone who wanted to kill him and someone who denied him publicly. That is the context in which love was most clearly defined and commanded. And so, we could imply the same thing for ourselves. The most clear case that we can show love, that people will know that we are his disciples, is when we love in the midst of betrayal and denial, or bad treatment in any way. Jesus demonstrates that love wasn't based on a mutual feeling here. So, I mean, it's easy to love people who love you. But even then, we can't even know that that's love, because everybody does that. Even the tax collectors and sinners love those who love them. People don't look at the tax collectors and sinners and say, oh, behold how they love one another. They just expect that they do. But when people see someone who loves their enemies, that's when they will know this is a disciple of Christ. This is someone who's different to everyone else. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do. So, you don't have to have a mutual feeling. the person doesn't have to like you, and you don't even have to like them in order to love them. Because naturally, you probably don't like the person anyway. But we're not doing things naturally. We're doing things by the love of God. It's not our own natural love. It's the love of God. So Jesus demonstrates it's not based on mutual feeling. It's not based on mutual understanding as well. Because Simon Peter, he was very different. Now, it's true. It's easy to love people who agree with you. You know, you talk to someone who has the same idea and it's a good conversation. But if you talk to someone who has a different idea, it's really difficult. But that's exactly the time that we need to love. And again, love is laying down your life for the other person. The disciples misunderstood Jesus in many ways, but he washed their feet. He still loved them. Also, faithfulness given or faithfulness promised is not a condition for love. And if faithfulness is not given, and if faithfulness is not even expected in return, that's a context where love is shown to be very strong. When somebody doesn't do what you'd like them to do, or doesn't treat you in the way you'd like to be treated, that is the time when the love of God can be shown to be the strongest. And this is what we're called to do. We're called to love as Jesus loved us. Jesus loved by laying down his life, surrounded by people that hated him, surrounded by people that denied him, surrounded by people that were hypocritical. There were one or two faithful people at the cross. Most of them were not. That's how Jesus loved us. That's how we are to love others. Now, our calling is to love as Jesus loved. A person doesn't have to have been nice to you or have been faithful to you to love them. And the person doesn't have to, probably this person's going to be faithful in the future. In fact, you can almost guarantee, because we don't know the future, but we can almost guarantee the person's not going to appreciate or return the favor. And that's exactly the time that we're supposed to love. So, the way that Jesus demonstrated this in the beginning of the chapter, of course, was washing the feet, removing the dirt of this world. When we come to church, we have to think, how can I wash the feet of Judas? How can I wash the feet of Simon Peter? Okay. Now, it's easy, perhaps, to wash the feet of the other disciples. But how did Jesus wash the feet of Judas? I mean, Judas, he knew he was about to kill him. Simon, he knew he was about to deny him. How did he get down and humbly serve somebody like that? We have to ask the same question. How can I actually encourage people who don't really have any desire to be encouraged? How can I help and serve those who are not going to be nice to me? How can I bless people who I don't have a natural inclination to bless and have never done anything good to me and probably never will? They're the sorts of people that we're supposed to encourage them. We're supposed to love them. We're supposed to serve them. We're supposed to pray for them at the very least, and not just pray that they'll repent either. We should pray that God will bless them. How can I encourage? So when we come to the fellowship, this is just one example, because the example that Jesus gave here in John 13 was the fellowship, the communion, where he instigated it. So we can apply this most first and foremost to when we come to church. How can I encourage people in the fellowship? How can I be used of God to forgive them, to get them to focus on Christ and his salvation rather than the world, and to take an interest in them and to be friendly with them? How can I do that? These are the sorts of things that we need to pray. Okay, one more section. Hi, so stay, Saigoni, Jusansho no Sanju Yon Setsu. Oh, Moikai Yomimasto. Yohane Jusansho no Sanju Yon. Okay, Anatagata ni Atarashi Imashime o Ataimasho. Anatagata wa Anatagai ni Aishiai nasai. Watashi ga Anatagata o Aishita you ni, sono you ni Anatagata mo Aishiai nasai. So you funi watastachi wa susumerare teimasu. Meirei o ukete imasu. Soshite どういうふうにこれができるでしょう。それに関して他の新約聖書のところをちょっと見ましょう。ローマ13章8から10。誰に対しても何の彼もあってはいけません。ただし互いに愛し合うことについて別です。他の人を愛する者は律法を完全に守っているのです。勧誘するな、殺すな、盗むな、むさぼるなという戒め、また他にどんな戒めであっても、それは自分を愛すると同じように、あなたの隣人を愛せよという言葉の中に要約されているからです。愛は隣人に対して害を与えません。それゆえ愛は律法を全うします。じゃあイエス様は新しい命令を与えます。その新しい命令は愛で、パウロがここで言っているのは、愛し合うことによって全ての命令を満たしている。そして14節、重要な14節、主イエスキリストを来なさい。肉の欲のために心を用いてはいけません。肉の欲のために心を用いてはいけません。私たちはそういう愛を示す秘訣は、ただ愛することではなくて、具体的にイエス様を着ることです。どうやってイエス様を着ること、イエス様 を受け入れて、イエス様の御言葉を受け入れて、イエス様の聖霊を受け入れて、そして自分の人生を明け渡して、完全にイエス様の愛が自分から出るようにしなければならない。私たちの中にその愛はない。私たちはできない、もう本当にできない。ただイエス様を受けてイエス様を切るなら、それができます。でそれに関して、まあ、その上にもう一つの箇所、ちょっと似てる箇所を比べたいと思います。それは第1ヨハネ、手紙の方、第1ヨハネの、じゃあ7節と8節、2章7節と8節を読みます。第1ヨハネ、第1のヨハネの手紙、2章7と8。第1ヨハネ2章7と8。はい。愛する者たち、私はあなた方に新しい命令を書いているのではありません。むしろこれはあなた方に初めから持っていた古い命令です。その古い命令とは、あなた方はすでに聞いている御言葉のことです。しかし私は新しい命令としてあなた方に書き送ります。これはキリストにおいて真理であり、あなた方にとっても真理です。なぜなら闇が消え去り、誠の光がすでに輝いているからです。旧約聖書でも敵の家畜が迷っているときに、必ずそれを敵に返しなさい。箴言には敵にが植えているときに食べ物を与えてください、植え替えているときに水を加えてください、与えなさいという、旧約聖書は復讐をするな、復讐は主のものから悪を受けたときに悪を仕返すなと書いてます。とにかく旧約聖書も私たちは敵を愛しなければならないと教えていた。人々は、まあ、愛するものを愛したり、敵を嫌うという、イエス様はそれマタイに言ったけど、でも旧約聖書はそう教えてない。敵を愛するように、旧約聖書は律法でも預言者でも箴言でもそう教えています。この古い命令、旧約聖書でもありますけど今闇が過ぎ去って、その本当に光が輝いているということは、イエス様にあってそれは実行されている、現実になっています。だからここで、これはキリストにおいて真理であり、あなた方にとっても真理ですということで、それはただの教えではない。イエス様は実際にそれをしました。で、私たちにもそれは真理ですということは実際にすることができるわけです。どうやって？イエス様を切ることです。イエス様の愛によって人を愛することができる。とりあえず敵がいる、その人はイライラする、その人は私たちを断っている、裏切っている、嫌っている、そういう、まあ、人がいるでしょう。まずその人を認める。これは私は愛しなければならない人です、でも自分自然には愛できないということも認めてください。それも正しい。次に神様の愛を受け入れて、神様の御言葉を受け入れて、神様の聖霊を受け入れて、イエス様が言ったようにエルサレムに待ちなさい、上からの力が来るから、その力を待ち望みましょう。神様の御心をとって、その人はあなたの敵ではなくて、イエス様の愛のまとい、 イエス様が愛しようとしているものです。その人は私の敵ではなくて、その人は神様の愛を示すべき人です。神様は私たちの愛によって栄光を受ける、今はチャンスですということを心に止めましょう。そしていやいやしながら愛することではなくて、苦しんで愛することではなくて、本当に神様の愛によって満ち満ちた愛でその人を愛しましょう。自分ではもう苦しんで愛しようとしてるなら無理だ。でもあの人は絶対に返してくれない、それだったら無理。でもその人は今までは忠実ではないとか、ふざけているとか、全然言うこと聞かないとか、じゃあ今はその人はそういうことだから愛するではなくて、私たちは神様の愛を受けてその人を愛します。イエス様は良い人でも悪い人の上に雨を降らせます。そして太陽を陰やします。神様は全ての人を愛している。だから私たちは人を愛しなければなりませんので、まあ今日はまあこれだけですけど、本当に考えてみたいと思います。あなたはイエス様の愛のゆえに知られているでしょうか。本当に自分の人生を嫌っている人のために捧げているでしょうか。しかもそれは見られているでしょうか。私たちは自慢するとかそうではないけど、自然にそういう生活をするなら見られることは決まっている。私たちは最もひどい人を愛している、具体的に愛しているでしょうか。神様からその愛を今持っていなかったら求めているでしょうか。それは私たちの方針なんです。必要のある人の欠けているところを満たすように計画しているでしょうか。自分のためではなくて他の人のために努力をかけているでしょうか。他の人は自分の努力を全く認めてない、感謝してない時さえその時こそ喜んで愛しているでしょうか。それに私たちは召されている。まあ難しいけど、難しいというのは自分の心はまだ持っているから。だからローマに書かれているように、心を自分の欲のために用いてはならない。神様、イエス様を切る。それだったらイエス様の溢れている愛によって、もうどんなひどいケースでも愛することができます。はい。そして何よりも自分の都合じゃなくて他の人の都合を求めることです。本当にこれはもう練習して、常に互いに話し合って、励まして、新しいそのやり方を考えたり求めたり祈ったり証ししたり、今こそ教会の中でも私たちの心の中でもそうするように、それを実行するようなことを私たちの方針です。それによってワクワクしましょう。喜んでこういう事実、こういう真理を実行しましょう。はい。じゃあ last part。 Alright, so we've talked then that we are supposed to be known by the love that we have toward each other. It should be seen. That should define us as people, and people should see us and know us as the disciples of Jesus because of the love that we have one for another. Secondly, Jesus demonstrated that love in the most perfect way in the midst of Judas and Peter. And so therefore we are called to do the same. We're to demonstrate the love of God in a circumstance when we don't get faithfulness, we don't get a promise or even a hint maybe of faithfulness in the future. So you have the power to fulfill what is lacking in other people. You have the power to overlook the sins of others. You have the power to serve those who don't like you, and maybe naturally you don't like them. How do we have that power? Well, it doesn't come naturally, that's obvious, right? Because we can't do that. How does it come? Let's look. I made a mistake here before with looking up the chapter. I was reading the wrong chapter, but let's go to Romans 13, not 14, Romans chapter 13, and we'll read from 8 to 10 and then verse 14. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 to 10. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. Remember Jesus said, a new commandment I give to you. Well, if you have love, you fulfill the law. Verse 9. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, you are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Now, very important, verse 14. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. How do we love like that? How do we not put ourselves first? How do we lay down our life for other people? Only by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, remember, in the end of the Gospels, in Matthew and Mark, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, teach them everything I've said to you. In Luke, he emphasizes the power. He says, you know, you will be endowed with power from on high, so wait in Jerusalem until you receive that power. And then in John, he emphasizes love. We need to preach the gospel, and these things are not against each other in any way, but we need the power of God to do it, and we also need the power of God to love. We need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, just like we'll be clothed with power from on high to fulfill the Great Commission. We need to be clothed with power from on high in order to love. We need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it says here that or Jesus said that I'm not giving you an old commandment, but something that's new. But let's look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8. 1 John 2, 7 and 8. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. First of all, it's not a new commandment because it was there from the beginning. The Old Testament teaches us to love. The Old Testament taught that, for example, in Exodus 23, verse 4 and 5, it says that if you see your enemy's ox going astray, you are to restore it to him. That's loving your enemy. The Old Testament taught in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35, do not repay evil for evil. Vengeance is mine, I will repay. Don't repay evil if somebody treats you evil. So the Old Testament teaches us to love our enemies. It says in Proverbs 25, verse 21 and 22, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him something to drink. For in doing so, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. You're actually called and commanded in the Old Testament to love your enemies. So this is not a new commandment in that sense. So what's new about it? The new is like this. Look, it says, again, a new commandment I write to you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Truth. In the book of John, it says the law came through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Grace, of course, the power, and truth is the realization, the reality of it. Let us love in, not in word and deed, which is hypocritical, not in word only, but in truth, in love, in reality, in doing and backing up what we say by actual works. It's true now in Christ. Jesus actually did love his enemies. Jesus actually did love those who were about to kill him and about to deny him. Jesus actually did humble himself and disregard everything he had in this world, including his reputation, in order to serve those who were actively against him, as well as everyone else. And that was true in him, but now it's true in you, right? It says which thing is true in him and in you, and also in you. So as we put on the love of Christ, we also have the ability now in Christ to do the very same thing. So it's not hard. It's not a hard thing to do. If it's a hard thing to do, it's because we're actually not putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're still operating with our old ways. Now, I say it's hard. It is hard in a sense because we don't put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the reason it's hard. We need to accept the power that God has for us. How do we do it? We love God, first and foremost. And as we love God, and we receive His Word, and we seek His heart, and we seek to share the love as well as the things, the time, effort, whatever, everything we have that God's given us, as we seek to share that with people, and we seek opportunity as He leads us to do that, we're going to come across people, enemies, sometimes not enemies, sometimes anybody, it could be anybody, but anybody, every time we get a chance, sometimes it will be enemies, that we can love. This is a chance. It's not my enemy. He's not my enemy. He is somebody that God loves. Judas was somebody that Jesus loved. He was somebody that Jesus actively bowed down and washed his feet. Simon Peter was someone that Jesus actively bowed down and washed his feet. And he said, "You don't know what I'm doing now. You'll understand it later." We can have the same attitude. "You don't know why I'm treating you like this, because you don't deserve it and I shouldn't be doing it. But you'll understand it later." Absolutely they will. Because God will be glorified and they will understand. They should understand. And ultimately they will. As God's love fills us, we receive His heart for that person. I don't see the person as my enemy. I see the person as someone God wants to give another chance. Someone who God wants me to love. I don't see a person who's lazy. I see a person who I can help. I don't see a person who's a failure. I see a person who I can support. I don't see a person who made a mistake. I see a person who, whatever they didn't do, I can make up for it. And we love the person, not with a struggle, not against our nature, but with the love of God that's flowing out from among us. It makes every difference in the world when we approach the situation from God's perspective, or if we approach it from our own perspective. If we see the person and go, "Oh no, here we go again, oh, you know, this is going to be hard, you know, blah, 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 blah." We're looking at it from our own perspective, and it's going to be a struggle, and we're probably going to fail. But if we look at the person and we say, "Okay, God, You love that person. Nothing to do with me. You want the best for that person. You want that person to be supported, forgiven, encouraged, and especially given a good example of Your love." Then we can do it. And that's the faith that we're called to do. That should be the thing that defines us. That should be how people know us. So let's practice and let's find active ways to love. All right, let's pray. てなささま感謝します。どうか私たちはこれからさらに みんなに愛できるように力を与えてください。あなたこそ愛、そしてあなたがいれば愛がいます。そして人にその愛を分かち合いすることができます。互いに愛できるように、互いに愛するように知られるようになります。感謝します。特にあなたに、その真理があなたにある、私たちにもある。その暗闇はすでに過ぎ去って、今本当に光が輝いている。本当に今私たちはあなたの御言葉を成就できます。 あなたの恵みによって、あなたの真理によってできます。感謝します。どうか神様、ただ私たちの態度を変えて求めるように助けてください。イエスの御名によって祈ります。アメン。